6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. We're powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Man, was that not a fast moving first hour? That was fantastic. You know time flies when you're having fun. How about you? Okay, so Michael's our resident diehard Broncos fan. It looks like a Bronco threw up on him every day. I'm not saying it's a bad look. You look good. But you got a team that's in the playoff hunt for the first time in December since what? They were in the playoff hunt, I guess, that post-Super Bowl year when they went 9-7. They just kind of fizzled. But I think then you were still kind of half expecting the Broncos just to trip into the playoffs. So then when it happened, it was like whiplash for us. Whoa, what happened? That sucked. Okay, Kubiak's moving on. Well, we'll have to get back at it. I don't think any of us could have looked forward and saw Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio and John Elway, for all the good things he did, all kind of had their part in running this thing to the ground the last few years. I don't think any of us could. So the fact that you're right here at 7-6, at December 19th will be that next game. You're very much in the thick of this playoff race. How do you feel about that? There are some Broncos fans that are like, come on, this is where we are now. We're a team that is on that bubble now. That's the best we can hope for. Or do you look at it and say, this is progress?
This is huge progress.
Okay, but that being said, is this progress with the coaching staff that will be here next year? Because if you're saying this is progress now, and I get you, because it is, if you have to reload and get a new coaching staff, do you reset a little bit, reset expectations, or do you think George Payton goes out and gets a coaching staff that can pretty much pick up where you left off, if not, instantly be better? Or is Vic Fangio going to be here?
I've been going back and forth on this.
And so have the Broncos, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think he is going to be here next year.
Part of me thinks so. Just like that, after a Lions win, I think there's part of me that thinks so.
Even if they lose the rest of the game.
If they had Russell Wilson on their roster right now, what would their record be? A healthy Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback for the Broncos. Same team, save for Russell Wilson.
They would win the rest of their games.
Okay, but are you being realistic? Or are you being Broncos Kool-Aid boy?
There is a huge step up between Russell Wilson.
They're beating the Chiefs at home on January 9th with Russell Wilson?
Yeah. There is a huge step up from Russell Wilson, who I hate because he's a, because of the team he's with.
But you're serious. You're taking off your Kool-Aid glasses.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge difference.
I think they absolutely are 10-point favorite against the Bengals, 10-point favorites against the Raiders, 4-point favorites against the Chargers, but they're still dogs against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are playing like they did the year they won and the year they went to the Super Bowl. They're back into that form. So I'm not going to give you that one, but I'll give you the rest. Now, they could still very well win these next three games, but the formula is fairly simple. Complex for me to talk about, complex for coaching staffs to draw it up, but just keep running the ball. Vic Fangio joked in his press conference and said, I don't get it. You guys are at us about passing when we're running and then running when we're passing. No, I think the reporters in their defense are more like, hey, the run game's great and all, but if you get to that situation where you don't have short fields to deal with like you did against the Lions and you need to air it out, are you confident that Teddy's that guy? Because let's face it, the Broncos, for better or worse, have found a way to put themselves in the thick of this thing with four games left. I predicted this. We didn't get there at all how I thought we would, but I did predict the Broncos would be a 10-win team. It's right in front of them. Three out of the next four games would give you 10 wins. But I also said this team would have to run the ball and play elite defense. I would say in their wins, that's almost true. I mean, those first three games of the season when they went 3-0, Teddy Bridgewater was good. I will give you that. He was good. after the first three games, he has been average to below average. He's had moments of solid play, but nothing really dazzling. Their wins, you know, against teams like Washington. I mean, look at the wins after the three-game winning streak, when they started winning football games again. Now, remember when they lose four in a row, sky's falling, oh boy, they're 3-4, this is bad. Since that moment, they are 4-2. And look at the defense in four wins since they lost to Cleveland on Thursday night. 10 points, 16 points, 13 points, 10 points. And even in their losses, now the Eagles game was just a fiasco on both sides, but they allowed only 22 to the Chiefs, and one was the pick six. That was one of Patrick Mahomes' worst games ever. So the Eagles game was one of those games that you really just want to throw out the window and be done with it. Other than that, this defense has been elite. Even against the Browns in that loss, they only allowed 17. So is it fair to say this defense is in that elite territory? And also in those last few games that we've seen in the wins, the running game has been solid, has been good. The more they dedicate to that, the better things get. You know, against Washington, still not great. They didn't run the ball very well. That was a weird game. But against Dallas, they were running the ball well. When you want to go back to that, you know, that absolute monster of a victory. And Dallas is kind of back to their top-tier form. But Denver ran for almost 200 yards. Javonte Williams had 111 in that game. That was elite defense and great running. Go to the Chargers game. Again, same formula, elite defense and great running. Gordon had 83. Javonte Williams had 54. It wasn't the best, but it was pretty good. Teddy's not going to get you to the Super Bowl. Teddy's not going to get you to the playoffs. It's going to be the other things. It's going to be running the football well and finding a way defensively to come up with turnovers, which they did against Detroit, and making big stops, shortening the field. That's what it's going to take. That's what I said at the beginning. I said a weak schedule paired with a solid running game and an elite defense is what's going to get you 10 wins, and that should get you into the playoffs. Now you're going to be riding it. I'll tell you what, it's going to be tough, though. This Bengals team is pretty good against the run. I think they're top five. And you can see why. They have a pretty good defensive line for the most part. Now, like San Francisco, even though San Francisco wins 26-23, they only ran for 100 yards. The Bengals have some run stoppers. They have some playmakers on that side of the ball. And that's going to be the part that's scary. And I think that's why you asked the question to Fangio, right? Are you worried that, you know, do you think you'll be able to air it out if you need to? Because Cincinnati can stop the run. They got some studs, man. Absolute studs. Logan Wilson tearing it up. 92 tackles on the year. You got Von Bell as a safety doing crazy things. They bring him up a lot when they need to stop the run. They will sell out and stop the run. Sam Hubbard has 7.5 sacks. They'll get pressure on the quarterback too. But he also has 12 tackles for loss. Trey Hendrickson, 12.5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss. B.J. Hill, not that B.J. Hill, 5.5 sacks, 6 tackles for loss. They get penetration. This is a very skilled football team on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to that defensive line. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's why I think you ask those questions, is if Teddy needs to, can he throw it? Eastside Chris, very ironic. I had a teacher once said, don't eat before a test. A hungry tiger gets what they want. Is that my Bengals reference? beginner's luck. Is it progress with a last place schedule? Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think it is. It's not a good schedule. It's one of the worst schedules. We saw that at the beginning of the season. But also, I have to say this. Some of those teams are better than we thought. Cincinnati's a much better football team than we thought.
So are the Browns.
The Browns are weird. They're better and worse than I thought. Is that possible?
Yeah.
It feels like they should be better, but then I'm also like, aren't they? No, they're not as bad. Okay, they're still kind of in this thing.
But the Ravens are better than
Better than we thought they were going to be.
The Lions were worse. I expected the Lions to maybe have 3 or 4 wins. I don't think this is as easy of a schedule as everybody thought.
The Eagles were playing their stretch of their better football, I think, right around the time the Broncos played them. I still think it's not a great schedule.
No, it's not. It's below average.
Yeah. Dixon, really only 2 quality wins this year, Chargers and Cowboys, and some bad blowouts and losses. Long way to go. Yeah, that's the beautiful part, though, Dixon, is it's not college basketball. It's not like quality wins. It's just wins. Just get in.
Yeah, well, quality wins, I think, is one of the tiebreakers.
It's like a deep tiebreaker.
Yeah, it's a very, very deep tiebreaker. I think it's 2 right before the coin flip.
This texter from the 970, we got to get you. You're a good texter. You deserve a nickname. Text in KFKA so we can save you in the database. We don't send you weird stuff, I promise. Or Micah won't. If Fangio is back, tell me how it goes down. Does he decide to fire Shurmur, or does Peyton make him fire Shurmur? I would have to say that it's going to have to be a George Peyton decision, don't you? Because I don't think Vic's going to fire Pat Shurmur. And that's the question. If you win 3 out of 4 and get into the playoffs, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of deal? That'll be interesting. 18 minutes after the hour, I'll tell you what. I got a text from my guy, Zach Stevens. Let's get him on the line coming back. He's ready to rock and roll. So we'll get Zach on. Talk about the atmosphere that surrounded yesterday's win over Detroit, the playoff picture, and so much more. It has been an up-and-down season, man. I tell you what, it's been entertaining. It's a different Broncos team almost every week, and we'll talk about it more in detail. Do you want to say congrats to the Colorado State Rams men's basketball team? They did jump up into that top 25 ranking. They are number 23. They got 251 votes. They're right behind Xavier and Kentucky and UConn, LSU. Alabama moved up. Now, that's the big test. They got Tulsa coming up this weekend, and then Alabama next weekend. Alabama sitting at 6th overall. This team continues to do big things. They beat Houston barely. That was a game. They went 83-82. All right, Zach Stevens coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. With me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider with DNVR Broncos. Zach, my friend, let's get to the important stuff from yesterday. What a beautiful atmosphere, basically just setting surrounding Demaryius Thomas, making that day what it was supposed to be about, and rightfully so, about Demaryius Thomas. You know, seeing all of the DT signs and jerseys and everything. It was a special atmosphere, man.
Yeah, Brady, it was really special, and the Broncos did a fantastic job. They had a great memorial outside. It was really cool. His memorial was right next to the Pat Bowlen statue, and Pat Bowlen's statue was overlooking the memorial. Thousands of fans stopped by to pay tribute to Demaryius before the game. Then, of course, you have Brandon McManus and some other players wearing some 88 Thomas jerseys while warming up. And then during the game, it was so cool what they did on that very first play. to honor Demaryius by not having their number one receiver on the field, taking the penalty, and then having the 88 come up on the Jumbotron. And they did that multiple times throughout the game where they would throw the 88 up on the Jumbotron. Had a very, very nice and special video tribute to him. And then, of course, it was really cool to see, even when the game was going, he was still a part of it with the 88 on the field. And then after Justin Simmons got his interception, when a big play was made, the Broncos would run over, put the ball on the 88, and really honor him. And then, of course, after the game, Demaryius Thomas's family gets a game ball. And, I mean, just an incredibly, incredibly sad couple of days. And Demaryius, we can tell just how loved he was by people that knew him so well, by people that had never met him before, just how much of an impact he had on so many people's lives.
Yeah, no question. Everyone's talking about his great smile, but then you're also hearing people that were so close to him talk about just the kind of guy he was. I mean, just Twitter's really great with this kind of stuff, Zach, where you can read the players' thoughts and people that have had interactions with Demaryius Thomas. Even if it was just at a local restaurant in Denver, you get the same thing, the same vibe. I don't think I read one thing that said DT was not that great of a guy, even when he was alive. Nobody really had much many bad things to say about this guy, and certainly a special one, not just a player, but that's how we all know him, right? That's how we all connect to him. We love our Broncos, and when you get a guy like Demaryius Thomas do all the right things, and then of course something as tragic happens as it did, it's a tough one. But as you said, the Broncos did an amazing job of honoring DT.
Yeah, they really did. And speaking of Demaryius, and some of the coolest things that I saw this weekend was just how he interacted with kids. And now we knew that he had so many great things in the community where he would work with kids, and the Boys and Girls Club he was very close with. But just seeing all the interactions that he'd have with people's kids, whether it was Peyton Manning's kids or just someone, like you said, at a restaurant that's meeting him, just how well he connected with kids, that shows just how much of a caring person he was. And I talked to him the day before he was traded to the Texans and was talking about, you know, all everything. But I wanted to talk about the Tebow years with him. And one of the things that he just kept saying over and over again was how grateful he was to be in that position, to be on that run with them, to play with Tim Tebow. And I just thought, wow, this guy really does only look at the positives, because from a wide receiver standpoint, playing with Tim Tebow in a run-first offense is about the last thing that a typical wide receiver is grateful for. But it really just shined a light onto his smile and how he was always, always positive.
And he never looked frustrated either. A lot of wide receivers get known as being a diva and putting their hands up and telling, you know, everybody in the huddle, well, DT has to play. Georgia Tech, I mean, they're doing triple option stuff. So he's used to all that. And I thought one of the unique things with DT really to me was the fact that he did come up that way, that he was dealing with Kyle Orton for a second, with Tim Tebow, and then of course he gets Peyton Manning and he's like, wow. And then Manning, that's one of his favorite receivers of all time to go to. So I really like that story of Demaryius Thomas, is the fact that he kind of just went with the punches, man. He rolled with it all.
Yeah, he really did. And I mean, going all the way back to when he was 11 and his mom went to jail, and speaking of rolling with the punches, what an awful situation for him to be in, and for him to overcome that. Then his playing career did kind of mirror that. And boy, I think everyone felt so happy for Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and the weapons the Broncos had when they got Peyton Manning, because it was like, okay, you've paid your dues. Now it's time to ball on the field. And so much, and rightfully so, these past couple of days has been focused on Demaryius Thomas as a person. But man, the player he was just absolutely incredible. What he did in that four-year stretch when he had Peyton, over 100 catches, almost 1,500 yards, over 10 touchdowns per season. And then what he did after Peyton, too. He had pretty much 2,000-yard seasons after Peyton when the Broncos were really struggling. This guy was, like Peyton Manning said, he was a Hall of Fame player and an even better person.
Yeah, no doubt. Well said, my friend. Zach Stevens joining us, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. And the Broncos get the win. You could certainly feel that emotion too, even just watching it from TV like I was. You could feel that emotion anytime they came up with big plays, and they came up with a lot of big plays. That's the formula, isn't it, Zach? I mean, run the ball ridiculously well and play elite defense, and you're gonna get into the playoffs if you can keep doing that.
You're 100% right, Brady. And you know what? That's something that I've seen a ton the past 16 hours is, oh my gosh, Teddy Bridgewater's terrible. This is such a concerning offense for the Broncos. How are they ever going to win? They need to get a new quarterback. Okay. Getting a new quarterback is something that they'll focus on this offseason. But you know what? The Broncos, since the bye week, Brady, they've found their formula to win on offense, and it's not Teddy Bridgewater. So get used to more 188 passing yard games. Get used to more non-explosive plays in the passing game. If you want this team to win, it's not going to happen on Teddy Bridgewater's arm. It's going to happen how we saw it happen yesterday. Melvin Gordon gets over 20 touches. Javonte Williams gets 15 touches. Melvin goes for 111 yards on the ground. Javonte adds another 77. Those guys get four combined touchdowns. Brady, we knew this was the formula for the Broncos all season, but it'd been so hit or miss in the first 10 games of the season. It never really felt like a formula. Everyone was questioning, is Pat Shurmur going to stick with running the ball? And you know what? These past three games since the bye, they've ran the ball more than they've passed the ball. And that right there is the Broncos' formula for success. Teddy Bridgewater's dropped back an average of 27 times in these past three games, and the Broncos have run the ball an average of 34 times per game. You do not see that in today's NFL, and that's catching teams off guard. And when you have Melvin and Javonte, those two are working so well together that this is the Broncos' success, is run for nearly 200 yards per game and then play the really good defense that they are. And their only loss since the bye was against the Chiefs, and the Broncos' defense played a heck of a game. They held the Chiefs' offense to 13 points, really.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, they've been ridiculously good. I mean, take that Eagles game away, which was just an utter fiasco. This defense has been good, even going all the way back to that Browns game. The defense was making some plays. So I know that stopping the run was kind of difficult, but overall, defensively, they've been there. And the run game, as they kind of do during these last few games, it's going downhill. Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, you know the Broncos are arriving when... I'm an early riser, Zach. I watch Good Morning Football on NFL Network, and Kyle Brandt's like going nuts for Javonte Williams. It's about time a Bronco gets featured on some of these national shows.
Yeah, and the really cool thing about it, and credit to Kyle Brandt, is Javonte's not lighting up the stat sheet. When you look at NFL rushing leaders, he's not in the top because he's splitting carries
right
with another really good running back. And that just shows you both of these guys, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. I truly believe it. I think they'd both be a top five rusher in the NFL right now if they were the true bell cow like these other top five rushers are. Instead, what they're doing is they're really helping their team. And Brady, when you look at Javonte Williams, and I know everyone in Denver says, you know, get the ball more to Javonte Williams. Why? It's working right now, what they're doing. Now, I'm all for Javonte getting more touches, but it doesn't mean taking Melvin Gordon off the field. Get them both on the field more and run the ball for 39 times just like they did yesterday, because what you also have to remember, there is that rookie wall for a lot of rookies, and that would be right about now. But Javonte Williams also split carries his entire college career. He's not used to being a guy that's carrying the ball 25, 30 times. So he is in the perfect situation right now. And Melvin Gordon's doing a heck of a job. Javonte Williams is doing a heck of a job. And this offensive line is doing a heck of a job. And these are the five guys that Broncos need on the offensive line to finish out the season, because they are destroying it in the run game. And Quinn Meinertz, man, what a joy he is to watch. Speaking of guys that that Kyle Brandt's really high on, Quinn Meinertz is just, I mean, he's an angry run blocker
right
on the offensive line. And, man, they're bringing that attitude that the Broncos need, and that's just a feast in the run game.
He has some hops, too. I saw in the tunnel. He's jumping up to give a high five. He's like, he's high in the air, man. He's an athlete.
Oh, he's an athlete, and, man, he's got the best workout videos you could ever imagine.
All right, man, let's look at this playoff, Ray. I'll get to rapid fire with you before we let you go, Zach. And it's going to be some of the same questions I've asked you already, but because this season has been so up and down, I think I have to keep asking, because I think the answers might change throughout the week, throughout the season. All right, the playoff race. Well, you got one team in front of you in the Bengals that you can control your destiny on quickly. I'm not looking at the Browns as much. I'm looking at the Chargers and the Colts. Boy, the Chargers could lose on Thursday. The Colts have a tough a couple of games in front of them. I think the Patriots and the Cardinals. So there's some tough matchups coming for the teams in front of Denver.
Yeah, it's great news for the Broncos. And you look at what happened this past week. Half the teams that the Broncos are competing with for that those final wild card spots. Half of them lost, so that was great news. And then you're absolutely right. Look at what's on the docket for these teams coming up. The Browns play the Raiders this week. If the Raiders lose, they're out of the playoffs. But if the Browns lose, then the Broncos will be able to jump them in the standings. So that's honestly kind of a win-win game for the Broncos. And then you said it with the Colts. I think the Colts and the Chargers are the two best teams that the Broncos are fighting with right now. But there are three open playoff spots in the wild card that the Broncos can get. So the Colts and the Chargers could make it, and the Broncos could also make it. But those are the three teams that I'm most worried about. You also have Pittsburgh in that mix. The Bills, actually, man, they are certainly going downhill with Sean McDermott not really understanding what's going on with his team, if you heard any of his press conferences the past couple of weeks. And so the Broncos are right there in it. And you know what? The good thing, and also the intimidating thing, is the Broncos' next three games are all against teams that are right there in it. The Broncos take care of business. They will absolutely be in the playoffs. They don't need help from anyone else, and that's the exact position they want to be in. And honestly, Brady, it's unfortunate to say, you hope that the Chiefs lock up not just the AFC West, but the number one seed in the NFL before that Week 18 game so that they're not playing for anything, so that you get to play the Chiefs backup, so that you can finally beat the Chiefs and not only end the 12-game losing streak, but then you get that'll be the game to get you into the playoffs. So I know Broncos fans don't want to view it that way, but that's the best thing for this team right now, since they're realistically out of the AFC West division title.
Well, the Chiefs just seem like they are. This was my biggest fear, that the Chiefs would be clicking to that almost Super Bowl ready type caliber team right around the time the Broncos got them, and they look good on the defensive side, of course, but offensively they took a step back, then they ramped it back up against the Raiders. So I think this Chiefs team will keep rolling. So yeah, you're right. I think we just let's root for the easiest path right now, and that's for the Chargers to lose on Thursday and the Broncos to take care of business against the Bengals. Zach, I know you got to go in a bit. Are you ready for some rapid fire?
Let's hit them.
All right, let's do it, Michael. Rapid fire time.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
I have several questions.
Don't ask questions you aren't prepared to handle the answer to.
Okay. All right, Zach.
That is incredible.
Rapid fire time. Is Melvin Gordon a Bronco next year?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I'm going to say no. I think he gets paid somewhere else.
No. I think I've asked this five times. Is Vic Fangio the head coach for the Broncos next year?
Yeah, and I've been on the fence in the past, but this is a semi-confident yes.
Pat Shurmur, yes or no?
This is a not confident yet.
Okay, not confident yet. Russell Wilson, the next quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, man, that's the dream. I don't want to kill dreams, but there's going to be so many teams on him. I'm going to say no right now. And, you know, that's a conversation that we can have for another time when we have much longer. But you look at what other teams, specifically the New York Giants, can give up. It's more than the Broncos can offer.
Do you regret the Broncos' decision to draft Patrick Surtain over Micah Parsons and Mac Jones?
Mac Jones, yes, absolutely. I mean, I think it's crazy if someone's going to say that there's a good quarterback out there that you passed on and you're willing to say that you don't want him now. No, that's just silly. Micah Parsons, you know what? Give me a shutdown corner before an interior. I guess he's really an everything linebacker, but I think you wouldn't have been wrong either way.
I think you're right. Man, they're so... Imagine them on the same team. I know, that's where my brain goes. Why couldn't they have just got them both, Zach? They could have found a way.
Right.
Last string here for you. I'm just going to ask, do they beat the Bengals?
Yes, I think so. I'm buying into this team, and it's taken me, you know, 13 weeks into the season, but Brady, I like what I'm seeing, man.
Do they beat the Raiders in Las Vegas?
Oh, man, that's been such a tough place, but the Raiders are really falling apart. I'm going to say yes.
Do they beat the Chargers in L.A.?
Man, that's going to be the toughest one. I'm going to say no.
Oh, so they go 2-1, but if the Chiefs are done and not playing for anything, then here's my question. I'm asking you to really look into the crystal ball. Do they beat the Chiefs on January 9th?
They do. They do. With that huge apostrophe there on if the Chiefs have everything locked up, the Broncos beat them. And Brady, there you go. There's the 3-1. There's the 4-1 if you include yesterday. and there is the Broncos making the playoffs.
Wow. How about that, Zach? My friend, I'm happy to say you survived rapid fire. Well done again, and we appreciate you. We'll talk to you later this week, my friend.
Right on, Brady. I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right, Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, 3-1. Okay. All right. He's got the Chiefs. He's got them beating the Chiefs. If, of course, the Chiefs are playing for nothing on that final game of the season, which I suppose is what we should be rooting for. 40 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Thanks to Zach Stevens for jumping on with us. Great guy. Good conversation with him. CSU cracks the top 25. It's about time. They are sitting at number 23. They beat up on, they beat Mississippi State. I shouldn't say beat up on. They were down again. The comeback kids keep finding ways to do it. They were just down two at the half, 29-27. But at one point, Mississippi State got up, what was it, 7 or 8? And yet this team continues to find a way to battle back. And I got to say this, it was not a pretty game. In fact, it was an ugly game. But that should make you feel better about Colorado State coming out of this thing with a win. DeSean Thomas, he only had 4 points. Now, DeSean, I have my new player of the week thing I do every week. And so far, I've had two players of the week, and they're both CSU guys. So CSU owns this award right now. If you guys want to see the full list, go to thewholeshow.com, find the Player of the Week tab. And this week, I was torn. I threw up, obviously Joker was in that mix. Draymond Jones was in that mix, who tore it up yesterday for the Broncos. Jabari Walker for CU was in that mix. Dalen Kuntz was there. He's been a candidate twice now. And then I was really torn between these two guys, DeSean Thomas and David Roddy. Now, Thomas didn't have that many points, but it was his rebounding and his defensive effort that got him in there. If you watched the game, you'd know what I was talking about. But I got to go with David Roddy. I mean, he came on at the end, and those numbers are hard to ignore. 19 points, 3 blocks, 3 assists, 7 boards. Pretty efficient for him when it was not that efficient of a night overall shooting for this team. He was 8 of 11. Isaiah Stevens struggled. He was 3 of 10. But found a way to get it done. 66-63. Two more non-conference games left. One against Tulsa and the other against Alabama. This is a gritty team. Man, that thing going out on Twitter, underneath the hoop, out of bounds play that they had. Just Roddy cutting around everybody. Oh, my goodness. Who designed that play? That was beautiful. I watched that 35 times. That and Coach Sheffield banging his chest out in the middle of Canvas Stadium. I must have watched those two things over and over via Twitter. It's an exciting day for Rams fans. I'll tell you what, it's interesting. The UNC Bears on the basketball side, they go play Arizona on Wednesday. They're going to need Bodie to go for 30, Dalen to go for 30, Matt Johnson to go for 30. Michael, you're probably going to have to chuck 30 in there. Hey, just go out there, put on a hell of a showing. That's all we ask for. And see what happens. That game's going to be on 103.1 and 1310 KFK this week. No coaches show, but you could still get out to the GOAT. I was there on Thursday, I think, or Tuesday. I can't remember. I'm losing track of the days. The GOAT is the best place, man. I had just a chicken sandwich there, some French fries, delicious French fries. Oh, my goodness. A Sam Adams winter lager, delicious beer. Love the atmosphere. I actually just went in there to work. I just kind of went in for lunch, a late lunch, like a 3:30 lunch, grabbed a beer. Yeah, it was late enough. Hung out, did some work there. So, I mean, I can go to the GOAT anytime, but that's the place to watch the big games, the games that matter the most to you. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show on the other side with what's on TV tonight. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2. on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It is Monday. We've got a busy day lined up after the program, of course. We got Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and company, former Buff. I love that show. Hey, they'll get you geared up for tonight. Because I have no idea what to expect tonight with the Rams and the Cardinals. And then, of course, the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. That show is a blast for your drive home, man. You get done with work early, whatever, or you're still in the office, you're still out in the field, tune in. We got the TuneIn app, 1310kfk.com. And then, of course, we got Monday Night Football on at 5. Coverage begins at 5:30 tonight. On the tube, also, can the Nuggets kind of build up on a win streak here? That's what I'd like to see. They got one win. That's not a streak yet. Up and down road trip for them. They're back home finally against Washington. I think they're 4-point favorites. Joker's going to keep putting those MVP numbers out. He needs some help. See if they can get the dub. That's on at 7 o'clock tonight on Altitude TV. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.